with a look at Radio On The Go Sports. I'm Dwayne Carstens on this Tuesday morning. Well, baseball playoffs and softball continued last night on the radio. Belmont Clemmie softball team advancing to the second round with a 10-0 win over Clarion Goldfield Dows. The game airing on 104.9 KLMJ. Kalen Morris took the circle for the Broncos, getting ahead of batters early and recording two strikeouts in the first inning. Belmont Clemmie's offense also got started early, scoring three runs in the bottom half to take a 3-0 lead. The Bronco ladies added six more runs over the second and third innings before scoring one more in the bottom of the fourth to end the game. The Cowgirls softball offense struggled to find a spark as Morris allowed only one hit and struck out nine batters to earn the win. For BK, Bronco head coach Michaela Hefty says pitch selection has been key to the success of this year's BK softball team.
We are actually starting to dial in. All the girls are buying into what their pitch they like, and that's really helped. They're not chasing things that they don't need to be chasing, and they're just dialed in on what they like for pitches, and we are really working on battling off when we get to down in the count.
Sophomore designated player Jayla Kuntz finished the night 2-for-3 at the plate, including a two-run double in the bottom of the third. Kuntz, who batted .203 in 2025, is now batting .347 in this summer of 26 and says her success this season has come from a change in her approach at the plate.
I've been really working on loading more, and I feel like that has been making my bat stronger this season so far.
With the loss, the Cowgirls' 2026 season comes to a close. Head coach Brandon Lansky says the CGD softball team has taken steps forward as a program.
Well, I think our girls have gotten really good at kind of moving on to the next thing. I think we do it too much sometimes. I think we do need to worry a little bit more about some of the errors and some of those things. I think that's the next step. But as the year went on, I thought we got a lot better, more sure with the ball. I feel like we've made a lot less errors. I feel like the hitting started to come alive there kind of towards the end of the regular season with a couple of games there where we get the wins. And overall, I just think the girls just kind of started having a little bit more positivity.
The Broncos move on to face West Marshall coming up Wednesday night in the 2A regional quarterfinal. In other postseason softball, it was AGWSR advancing with a 4-2 win over GMG on the road. South Hamilton topped South Hardin to end the Tigers' season 11-5. In another 2A regional, it was West Fork defeating Central Springs 10-2. So the women of West Fork move on. And regular season softball, again, this was regular season for softball, 13th-ranked Roland Story over number 2 Clarksville, and the Roland Story, a 3A team, winning 5-4 over the Indians. And also last night, 11th-ranked Algona shut out Hampton Dumont Cal 3-0 on the softball side. Now in baseball, it is postseason time here, as we had several games around the area going on for the playoffs, including Applington Parkersburg, who bounced back from trailing most of the game to defeat Hudson 8-5 in their district first-round game in Eldora, as aired on 99 The Wave. John Moewinkle reports.
The Pirates got on the board with a run in the first inning, then a reach on error scored a run, and the runner who reached later scored in the third inning to make it 3-0. Needing a response in the fourth inning, Colbin Hoppenworth singled to drive in two runs, cutting the deficit to one. Trailing 4-2 with two outs in the bottom of the sixth, the Falcons had four outs remaining to come back. They scored their remaining runs before the last out was recorded to pull away. Hoppenworth had another RBI, Sully Jansen walked with the bases loaded, then Jackson Clespies doubled to drive in three. Two pitches later, Rylan Asher doubled to drive in Clespies, rounding out the scoring. It also completed a series of five runs scored on four pitches. Hoppenworth tied for the team RBI lead with three.
My plate approach was, you know, I'm a senior, so this potentially could be my last game. So it's like, Lord, you know, thank you for this opportunity that you're giving me at the plate. And Lord, I just pray that if it is your will, give me a hit. You know, and if it is your will, Father God, help me to get the second hit. If it's your will, help me to get the third hit. And I just felt I was at more peace and just my approach and intent. You know, it was all playing for the Lord. Therefore, it took all pressure off myself. So it was kind of nice.
Ullman pitched the complete game, recording 13 strikeouts and three walks.
I just kind of had to tell myself, stay calm, you know, keep throwing strikes on the mound. Make sure I know my defense has me. So just had to keep a positive mindset on the mound, and that's what led me to throw those 13 Ks.
Head coach Brett Clespies.
It was just one of those things, you kind of keep after guys, and you know, you're not down, you scored runs, we've been able to hit the ball better the last couple games, and so move guys around the order, move Luke down a little bit in the order, and it kind of maybe took a little pressure off him, I think, and he was able to hit some fastballs and had some really good at-bats, and challenged Jackson with a couple bunts, and I think probably made him mad enough where he needed to hit the ball, and so a little mad at dad and coach there, so yeah, boys played well, battled back, and had a big game out of Colbin Hoppenworth. You know, for him to have go 3-for-3 and 3 RBIs with, I think they were all with 2 outs, and so just a kind of a big game overall. And bounced back, had a couple base running help there at the end with 2 outs. Luke's double, and then Lincoln beat that double play out there, the force out at second, and so kind of kept that inning going to allow us to score.
Jackson Clusby's also had 3 RBIs. He, Asher Holman, and Luke Jacobson each recorded doubles, racking up 4 extra bases.
And again, this was a makeup game from last weekend when it was rained out in Eldora. The Falcons now play top-seeded Grundy Center right away today, tonight at 7 p.m. That'll be on 99 The Wave and Radio on the Go's YouTube channel. Also at Eldora last night, South Hardin trailed in the late game before they got to bat, but had 2 big innings to defeat Sumner Fredericksburg 18-7-5 at home. And again, that was aired on 99 The Wave. John Momwinkle has more on that game.
The Cougars, despite their record, showed signs of offensive firepower. They scored 3 in the top of the first to put the Tigers on notice, but it didn't take long for a response. With no outs in the bottom of the first, Garrett Anderson doubled with the bases loaded, tying the game at 3-3. They added 6 more in the inning, highlighted by a Casey Williamson double that drove in 2. In the next 2 innings, Sumner Fredericksburg scored 4 unanswered, making it 9-7 South Hardin. Then came another big inning. In the bottom of the third, South Hardin scored 7 runs and had 11 batters before the first out was recorded. With 1 more in the fourth, they were in position to end the game early via the run margin rule, and they did just that by retiring the Cougars in order in the top of the fifth. Head coach Nathan Weig.
We've been in a couple of those this year, and that's something we stress, we talk about. Actually, Preston Dolash, one of my captains, asked me after the first inning if I was nervous, and I said no. I believe in these guys. I know they have the right mindset. We just got to sit there and keep chopping wood and get a few runs, and once one guy gets a hit, usually they come in bunches for us, so just really proud of the guys tonight.
The Tigers were aided by 4 Sumner Fredericksburg errors, along with several hit batters and walks with the bases loaded. Williamson and Anderson each had 3 RBIs, with multi-hit games by Williamson, Bo Carpenter, and Braden Weig. Josh Spindler pitched 3 innings of relief with 6 strikeouts and no walks.
And the Tigers will play the early game in Grundy Center, taking on Wes Marshall this evening. And that'll be at 5 o'clock. We'll have that game followed by the AP game, both with 99 The Wave. Also last night, let's take a look at one other playoff game that took place. Clarksville getting in their first round game against North Tama, and it was North Tama Redhawks defeating the Indians 14-5 to end the Clarksville boys baseball varsity season last night. Also in regular season play, Hampton Dumont Cal fell in a doubleheader to Central DeWitt 16-1 and 10-0. Iowa Falls Alden fell in a doubleheader at Webster City 4-2 and 5-1 Lynx over the Cadets last night. Well, several sports at this month's Summer Iowa game have a final registration deadline by the end of the day. Corey Kennedy is Iowa Games spokesperson.
The final registration deadline for badminton, billiards, cross country, diving, disc golf, racquetball, youth soccer, which is a big one, so get your teams in, cycling, and target archery, as well as swimming and horseshoes.
Kennedy says among the sports that are a part of today's deadline are swimming and youth soccer.
If you go to iowagames.org, click on Summer Games, and all the sports will be listed there. So then you find your sport and then click on your sport, check out the information, and there'll be a Register Now button on each sport page.
Kennedy says coaches registering their soccer teams don't need to have a roster in for a few more days.
You can register your team first, if you don't know all your kids, and then you'll have to get your roster in. We ask that you have it early, but it's nice to be able to have it in by July 8th for youth soccer.
Kennedy says the final set of registration deadlines are coming up.
Our strongman competition, which is pretty cool to see, is July 11th is the registration deadline, and then July 13th we have a big chunk. Judo, fencing, open martial arts, wrestling, basketball shooting, and our 4-person golf tournament.
Again, the Iowa Games coming up soon here. Get your registrations done online. Chris Gottrup fired a 9-under par 62 Sunday to win the John Deere Classic at the Quad Cities, as we reported yesterday.
I really felt like I grinded it out this week, and obviously today it kind of all came together. But the first 3 days, I didn't have my best stuff, but I, talked about it earlier in the week that even my best stuff has gotten my not so good stuff has gotten a lot better, which is great. And then obviously to come out today and shoot 9-under was awesome, and you know, definitely not what I had in the cards, but I'll take those cards dealt to me for sure.
It has been a big year for Godrup, who continues to climb the world rankings.
This whole year has been really good if you look at it in a big picture, but obviously got off to a great start and was grinded it out in the middle of the year, but that's not unexpected. And yeah, obviously, hopefully this kickstarts some other, you know, great stuff. So yeah, I'd be lying if I said this year wasn't a massive success, and hopefully, you know, I still have some tournaments left, and hopefully, you know, keep it going and run it into the end of the year.
Max Homa was second. Ben Coles went to 18th, tied for the lead, but his approach shot found the water, and a double bogey dropped him into a tie for third. It was Gottrup's fifth career win on the PGA Tour and his third this season. Back to local sports, where North Butler will host Riceville tonight in second-round action of Class 1A baseball tournaments, the game airing on 104.9 KLMJ. The game will be a rematch from late in the regular season when the Bearcats lost 8-7 before then going on a three-game win streak that includes their first-round win over Rockford last Friday. During that stretch, the Bearcats have outscored opponents 22-6. Riceville is also on a three-game winning streak, including its first-round win over Northwood Kensett on Friday. During that stretch, the Wildcats have outscored their opponents similarly 25-4. The winner of tonight's matchup between the Bearcats and Wildcats will advance to the district championship game, and that'll be coming up on Saturday against either Belmont, Clemmie, or St. Ansgar. First pitch tonight, 7 p.m. in Allison. Pre-game coverage of this tournament game starts at 6:45 here on KLMJ. We have some other games that will be broadcast as well. The Applington-Parkersburg versus Grundy Center game. And prior to that, at 5 o'clock, it'll be the South Hardin-West Marshall game for the 2A District Baseball Tournament games at Grundy Center. Now, it'll be YouTube only tonight for South Hardin's game, the early game. The second game will be on both 99 The Wave and the Radio on the Go YouTube channel. Also, YouTube only for AGWSR. We'll have that game on at St. Edmund. Again, listen through YouTube tonight. Also, other district games. Belmont Clemmie at third-rated St. Andrew as the Broncos try to knock off the Saints. Clarion Goldfield Dows goes on the road trip out west to Pocahontas area at 7 o'clock. Dyke New Hartford plays an early game against Waterloo Columbus at Dyersville, 5 p.m. for the Wolverines against the Sailors this evening. Regular season baseball, Grinnell visits Hampton Dumont Cal this evening at 7 o'clock. And regular season softball action for Iowa Falls Alden at DNHAP today. That'll do it for Regio on the Go Sports for this Tuesday morning. We hope you have a great day. I'm Dwayne Carstens reporting. More online at radioonthego.com.